TJBuffenBarger.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live here at the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the snow is starting to melt just in time so we can get about 4 or 5 more inches of snow. And we're going to kick the show off tonight with a gentleman who's beat on the racing circuit is usually where they've been racing for a month now. But Mother Nature has intervened. And Jeremy Elliott, do you think we're going to see racing in central Pennsylvania this week?
I think there's a good possibility we see it on Saturday at Lincoln. I believe Port Royal's already axed their action for the week. And also, I think Phelan's Grove may get off as well with a modified doubleheader. It's going to depend on Thursday. It's supposed to go on Wednesday from 50 degrees as a high, 58 down to 26 as a high on Thursday, and then back up to 40 on Friday. So they haven't really had much of the forecast hasn't really been set in stone for Saturday and Sunday yet. So I think we may get off, kind of get off the schneid a little bit, but, it's still debatable. Anything can happen with the weather this year.
How weird is it to be in mid-March and not to have not seen a sprint car race in Pennsylvania?
It's odd, but I'm glad, because I'm not a big fan. I just think for fans, it's almost too much because it goes until October, late October, and then, of course, you have Susquehanna Speedway Park in November, and I just think the season's too long. But it is odd. Lincoln normally gets that first weekend in, whether it be, I don't know if they made a deal with the devil or what, over the last, I don't know how many years, where they've had good temps, and, they've been able to get around seepage in the track and other things, so... But this year was just too much, and I think this may be a trend for a few years here before it gets back to where we're seeing races in February again.
When you do get back to racing, your scene on the sprint car world is going to look dramatically different this year. Lots of different combinations. Who do you think has a good chance to start out hot of the new combinations this year in central Pennsylvania?
Well, I think the guys, and I would have, if they would have started on time, I mean, it's kind of a double, it's kind of twofold. I think the guys who went to Florida and were able to work out some of the bugs maybe had an advantage, coming into the season, which is Greg Hodnett, Danny Dietrich, and guys like that, Lucas Wolf, although you never know when Lucas is going to show up to the track. I don't think he's going to go to Lincoln the first time. I think his plans are to go to the Grove and, Port Royal. Now that there's been this layoff, I don't know. I mean, that changed. Now it's almost like square one again. I think Greg Hodnett, I mean, it's all who starts up front. I think Greg Hodnett, obviously, smart guy, can really delve into something when there's problems and fix them. Plus resources. I mean, they have resources, so they can kind of throw a lot at it. Danny Dietrich was really bad in Florida. Came home early. Maybe he can catch fire. Brian Monteith normally starts out pretty well, especially at Lincoln. So there's a guy who I think, it really doesn't matter when they start running. He's always quick out of the gate. So I think those are the three teams that can get something done early. At Port Royal, it's a crapshoot. It'll be interesting to see how Lance DeWeese does in his new car as well. It's going to be interesting, but I would say those three guys are the ones I'm looking at.
We're seeing kind of a different breed of central Pennsylvania car owner coming to the forefront. The Clemens are on the road. We see a lot of different car owners. The transition's kind of, come through where some of the older owners have given up. What's different about this new generation of central Pennsylvania sprint car teams compared to the previous generation?
I think drivers and owners are being more selective. I think the season's so long and you beat your head against the wall, for however many weeks it is, two times a week, it gets old. And the purses aren't high yet. The things keep, the equipment gets more expensive. So I think guys are just, streamlining their schedules, 50, 60 races a year. I think DeWeese wants to run 60 to 65. So I just think it's just being more economically sound and also choosing your races better to maximize your earning potential. I think it comes down to that. I know fans, diehard fans, don't like to hear that, but you know, you gotta have money to race. And this is the way it's been kind of the new way of doing it, the Zemco way. John Zamaitis and Lucas are probably gonna run, as of now, in the neighborhood of 50 races. And it's picking and choosing. People don't like handicapping systems anymore, as far as drivers. So, you know, they want a time trial. They want to go lean towards those shows more because it's harder to pass, because the cars are so equal. So I just think it's the streamlined schedules and being more choosy about where you run.
Now, in the World of Outlaws circuit, right now, Paul McMahon's leading the points. He's the only driver in the top five right now that doesn't have NASCAR backing behind their team. How important is it right now for teams like the 51 and the 29 stuff to do well long-term for the sport when we, you know, the NASCAR drivers and the NASCAR-owned teams are great, but how is it important to show people that those teams that don't have that backing can compete up front?
I think it's important, but I think the people who are there have money. Look, it's racing, and no matter what the sport or the people that govern the sport, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be sprint car racing, it's still money, and the teams will find a way to spend money, and they're the teams that are going to win. It's great that Paul McMahon's out there doing that now. I think that shows promise. But they also have an outlaw guy running the team, which is Barry Jackson. So he has experience. I think it bodes well for the one, I guess we could say, one car teams now with the World of Outlaws, with the TSR and the KKR cars, multi car teams. I think it shows a glimmer of hope. But you better have a guy in the background who has that World of Outlaws experience. Barry Jackson has that. Paul McMahon doesn't crack up equipment. You know, Kerry Mattson can get wild sometimes, but he's very talented, and they have money behind him. But it's refreshing from my standpoint. I'm sure from fan standpoint to see a dark horse, if you want to call it that. I hate calling Paul McMahon a dark horse because by no means is it an upset, but one of those big NASCAR teams, as you put it, do well. And it might help down the road. I mean, I know Brent Marks wants to get out there. He's going to run 24 races with the Outlaws this year, per our discussion at the end of last year. I talked to him and said he's going to run 24 races. So that's something that, probably gives guys that want to get on the road some hope, that they just don't have to hook up with TSR or KKR.
Okay, so when I go to Penn Live, the rest of the year.com to see your to see your work, over under for how many Steve Kinzer stories we're going to see about the retirement tour this year, since I come through your neck of the woods, I'm thinking at least three.
On Penn Live?
Yeah, on Penn Live.
You know, I think he's going to win more. So if you're counting recap stories, result stories, I think you're going to see more. I would say 3-4 maybe, if that. I mean, I don't get caught up in retirement tours too much. I care more about news and what's going on. And I'll probably do maybe a Q&A with him and also write a story off it. It's definitely big. I'm sure we'll do a blowout piece when they come in the first time in May. And then kind of, okay, been there, done that. And then we'll kind of wean off it. But
you say he's going to win more. Yeah, he's going to win more. So let's go this over under for how many wins. I say he matches the car number this year. That's a pretty aggressive prediction.
That is an aggressive, very aggressive prediction.
You know, I don't make very aggressive ones, but I got to put it out there. I say he met for the season. He might have to pick up a 305 race at the end of the year, but I say at the end of the year, you never know. I mean, MVP might take him down to Texas, but I say it goes 11 wins to match the car number by the end of the year. What's your prediction over under for Kinzer wins by the end of the year?
I'm going to say under, but not by much. I'm going to say like 9.
Okay.
Which is still a good number because you got to remember the days of winning. Take Donnie Schatz out of it. I think the days of double digit wins, I mean, even back here last year, I think one, two guys hit it. So, you know, that 8 or 9 wins isn't bad.
I think we'll have a better idea probably come about May or June what that's going to look like. Cause, you know, it seems like this is a sport where you'll see one or two guys hit that extreme double digit number and then everyone else is fending for the rest of it. But, and Shots is in that position now. When we look at Dai Shots' legacy as a whole, I mean, this guy is putting up some serious numbers. We both saw what he did at Knoxville, this past year. You know, where does Donnie sit at this point, do you think? If he was to hang up his helmet tomorrow, what do you think Shots' legacy would look like?
The Mount Rushmore sprint car racing, to me, Steve Kinzer, Doug Wolfgang, Sammy Spindell, and Donnie Shots. Donnie Shots is doing it in a time when the cars are so equal. And that's what's impressive about Donnie. I know a lot of people don't like Donnie. They don't like maybe some of the things he says in Victory Lane or that he's business. That's the point. He is business. This is his job. And, you know, I go back to the cars are so equal, and he's able to do what he's doing. It's an amazing feat. I think what he's doing, I think, you know, you do 1 or 2 years like that, okay. You know, but he's doing it every year. Yeah, he didn't win the title last year, but he won the big shows with the exception of the King's Royal. He won the shows that mattered, or he was in the running for him. I don't consider Charlotte a big race because it only pays $10,000 to win. So, I mean, it comes down to money with Shots. And boy, does he bring it in the money races. He is just that good. And I think he deserves probably more respect than he gets from a legacy standpoint.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, a lot of people forget he got his butt kicked on the tour for several years before he started winning. I mean, he went out there and definitely got kicked around. Yeah. So.
But now, I mean, people don't like him because his family does have money, because he does fly to places, and he's, you know, but, you know, it's not about that. It's when he gets behind the wheel, he's just so good. And I think, again, that age of parity and him being able to do what he does at this time, it's pretty special. Now, I'm not going to put him ahead of the big three. I would never do that. To me, the best pure driver of all time is Doug Wolfgang. Pure driver. Steve Kinzer, you know, obviously has the wins, but I think it helped he was with the same team all the time. And he had the same guy. And you know, that means something as we see in NASCAR. Jeff Gordon doesn't have Ray Evernham, he hasn't won Title Six. So, doesn't make Jeff Gordon worse. It just, you know, but Doug Wolfgang, Steve Kinzer, and Sammy Spindell have just done so much in this sport. I don't think anybody ever unseats them. And I think right now, people should appreciate Donnie Shots. Because when he goes, who's next?
Yeah, to me, Shots' legacy is one of those things. It's going to be a lot like Kinzer's. I mean, where Kinzer maybe is a little more appreciated towards the end of his career. I mean, not even towards the end, but as it's starting towards the downhill progress of his career. Because, I mean, I can remember going to races in the late 80s and when Steve was winning 50. And everyone is about the same reaction you see out of Shots now.
Yeah, and nobody likes a winner. That's what it comes down to. And I'd be curious if Darren Pittman, because he's like one of the nicest guys you'd ever run into. I'd be curious to see what, if he won as much as Shots, what that reception would be. But, you know, people don't like a winner, and yet they'll pay to go see them get beat. That's the curious thing to me. I think we need dominance in this sport. Because I think it feeds the gate. I think you need a villain. I think you need somebody who dominates. And when people beat him, you know, I think that that's a big deal and people come back. So, you know, even in that regard, Shots is very important to this sport.
And that's why we bring this guy on, Jeremy Elliott from PennLive.com. Jeremy, of course, we've mentioned PennLive.com a couple times. You'll be on the Sprint Car Beat again this year. Lots of coverage there throughout the season.
Yeah, we're going to be traveling to all the big races. It's nice. I don't know many local papers that send a guy to Knoxville and to Eldora and stuff, and they do a good job, and they allow me to get out there and eat, you know, outside of my area, which is good. And, you know, I appreciate them that, and I appreciate you for having me on.
Well, Jeremy, really appreciate coming on again. Probably talk to you again around Central Pennsylvania Speed Week, and then, hey, we get to visit at the King's Royal, so it's all good.
Can't wait.
All righty. Jeremy Elliott from PennLive.com. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have more TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on Races on the Web. And back by popular demand in segment number two,
the God of Sod.
That's right, folks. He's back. Brett Mann joining us on the line a week before our Great Lakes preview. We bring Brett in because, well, he's an Indiana resident. He races up here a lot, but fits into our one local guest a week mold we're trying to do. So, Brett, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome back to the show. same thing as last year. You're going to be back with Tracy Rice again, it sounds like, with a mixed schedule of all kinds of stuff you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, we're going to be kind of doing similar to what we've done, probably maybe just a little more racing. And running some wing stuff and some non-wing stuff and just kind of whatever kind of comes along, just floating along between sod and 996, maybe a little MTS stuff, and we'll just kind of whatever we feel like running and have a good time.
Now, you know, you'd not driven for Tracy until last year, but it seems like you guys hit it off pretty well and were fast every time off the trailer.
Yeah. I wasn't, when I first got the call from Tracy, I knew Tracy a little bit from being around him, but never talked to him a whole lot. And, honestly, the first night drove for him, we ran pretty decent, and we just kind of gelled a little bit together, and we get along real well. And we just kind of, it's one of the deals, we just make a good combination together. Our personalities kind of match real well, and kind of just reminds me of driving back for Bill and Herb back in the 79 car a few years back. You just get in, it's a real comfortable situation at the track, and even off the track, we're good friends too. So.
Now, Tracy's a guy that traditionally will pull about 8 race cars out to fuel the night, but he was pretty focused on your race car only. How much of a change was that for him, not having to babysit 2 or 3 cars?
He's really been happy about it. He said, this ain't been near as much. He hasn't had to worry about the other cars and the work and the hassle of it. You can just focus on one car and trying to win some races and run out front every night. So it's been a good situation.
And another good thing that we got some news today that the Sprint Thunder added 3 Hartford dates, one in June and a couple of other ones as well, including the Friday before Labor Day. So I'm sure you were more than happy to see the Hartford Speedway pop back up on the schedule.
Yeah, we can't have Hartford on the schedule too much for me. I really enjoy racing there and run really well at that track, and look forward to going there anytime and as much as we can. That's definitely one of my better and favorite tracks.
Now it is a huge racetrack, and it definitely takes some motor to get around there. But is it as important as it looks from the outside, or is it more important to keep your momentum up at a place like that?
It's really important to keep your momentum up there. I mean, you really need a good motor. But last year, like, we didn't have our best motor. And honestly, I just hustled the car around there by keeping it real straight and your momentum up. And it just kind of makes a difference. If you can get yourself wound up and not get any yellow flags, you can kind of make up for the motor deal a little bit. But it's definitely kind of a driver's track. There's a trick to getting around Hartford, and it takes a lot of laps to kind of figure it out. And I've been lucky enough, probably me and Dustin are the two of the best guys at getting around that joint. So.
And, you know, with the you've been doing some non-wing racing with Tracy, which you hadn't done any non-wing racing, and I don't want to date us, but had double digits probably in your career years ago.
Yeah, I really hadn't done any racing since Warsaw. Well, I'd run Crystal at the dealer's choice, but before that was Warsaw Speedway days.
Okay, so it's
back in 86, 87.
So it had,
a long time ago.
It had been quite a while, and it's changed a little bit. But you know, with the non-wing car, how long did it take you to get readjusted to doing that?
Honestly, it just took like a couple laps at Crystal. I mean, I went around there and just kind of getting a feeling. It's honestly just basically getting a feel of not running too hard. Like, say, that's the thing with the wing. You're used to running a track like Crystal. You're kind of used to your points of where you lift and you don't lift. And with the non-wing deal, you got to slow yourself down. So in a way, it's kind of easier. And I really kind of fell into it and, ran pretty good about any time we run, and kind of enjoyed doing it because it's something different I haven't done in a long time. So we had a good time doing it.
And, of course, then you fell off this diet cherry, which wasn't good. But, how long did it take you to overcome the little tumble at cherry before the creaks and the little soreness went away after that deal?
Honestly, I didn't feel too bad after that one. Oh, I was surprised. I thought it hurt really bad. That was,
It looked like it did.
Seat and yeah, it was one of the, as far as the equipment goes, it tore the stuff up really bad. The car, the frame itself was the worst one I've ever had in my career. It was bent every which way but loose. But Tracy had one of those better seats in it with the containment deals, and I honestly didn't feel nothing from it. I felt good. The one at 96 that I just caught the implement tire at the left front and it turned over real easy, that one broke a couple of my ribs. I felt that one for a couple months, and that didn't look like it should hurt you at all.
So did you switched over to the containment seat at this point?
Yeah, I think I'm going to switch over. I'd say I bought another seat from Chris Gurley here a couple months ago, and I'm pretty much going to go away from my old school deal.
Oh, wow.
Keep going up with everybody else.
Holy cow. You know, so did the cherry thing kind of make you a believer a little bit?
Yeah, that basically it did. Like I say, when you can take that kind of wreck and not really feel it at all in the one in 96, like I say, it didn't seem like I should have got hurt, and I got busted up there about as good as I have during my career. So I definitely can say maybe I'm getting a little older, and maybe it's time to do things a little different.
Is it time to get rid of tractor tires as track markers, yes or no?
I'm all for getting rid of them. Them boots have cost me quite a few cars through the years. But I'm all for like the Knoxville deal, putting some reverse bank in the bottom of the track, and like say it saves on cars and it keeps guys out of the infield too. And like the tractor tires don't do nothing but tear people's stuff up.
All right, so Brett Mann's wisdom on tractor tires. Is there anything in particular on the side you're looking forward to when you look at it? I mean, obviously the Hartford dates we talked about, but when you look at it, is there anything in particular you go, that's a place where I really want to go win, or that's a place that I, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting to?
Plymouth Speedway's one. Like I say, I've won quite a few times there on the pavement. Really looking forward to the Bob Newton Classic this year. I really wanted to win that thing last year, and definitely, that's kind of the crown jewel for this year for me, to try and win that race for everybody down at Hoosier and stuff. They have done a lot for me throughout my whole career, and definitely be an honor to win that race for them and for Bob.
Yeah, of course, that'll be coming up later on the SOD schedule, and three dates there, too. So you have plenty of chances to race around home, which you didn't get to do for a while. The racing kind of dried up dirt-wise a little bit in that neck of the woods, but Plymouth bringing the dirt track back. What do you think of the new layout with the dirt in Plymouth? As a driver, what do you think of that racetrack now that they put the dirt on the big racetrack?
Honestly, I mean, after the first time we were there, I was a little skeptical, but like the first time on the big track, it was a little shaky, and they had the long delays with trying to run it in and all that stuff. But I've been back there every race since, and it's gotten nothing but better and better. And the last couple times I've been there, the track's been great. I mean, you could run up top, you could run the middle, you could run the bottom, and it's as racy as any place you'd want to go to. And they're just really enthused about racing there on the dirt and the sprint cars. And like I say, they just keep putting more and more into it. So like I say, I think it's going to end up being a really good place to run in. Because it's really nice having somewhere close to race. And you see a lot of people from the old Warsaw days down there and stuff, too. So kind of has a little bit of nostalgia for me growing up around that area.
And this is either, what, season 27 or 28 of your career? Or am I a little high on that? I think it's over 25.
Yeah,
I do know that. So how
yeah, it's more than 25.
Yeah. So how much longer do you foresee yourself behind the wheel?
Honestly, I'm not one of these guys that's going to run until you just can't run no more. Or does that? I mean, guys like Hank, I respect the heck out of them, but that's not going to be me. I'm honestly, I think I'm kind of towards the end of my career right now. I told Tracy when I started driving for him, and the way things have gone, when basically he says he's done racing, I'm probably going to be done too. And honestly, numbers wise, I'm not going to run any more than I hit 50 years old. Right. I've got a lot of kids, and they like got interests and other things, and just going to be trying to move on and do something different.
And so Brett Mann, a few years left to catch the Hoosier Rocket around local speedways. So Brett getting ready for another 2014 campaign with Tracy Rice Racing. And it's been kind of an interesting combination. Those two have done pretty well. And great season coming up, and looking forward to seeing the Rocket back on the racetrack. So what do you do during your off season? What's kept Brett Mann busy besides inappropriate internet websites?
I takes up a lot of my time there. Most of the time I have to sleep to regain my vision from all my daytime activities. Other than that, it's daycare center and My wife's got me slaving away doing some mobile home repair.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just living the dream.
I was going to say.
What else anybody could ask for.
I was going to say, you're keeping busy, it sounds like. Well, Brett, it's going to be great to see you back out at the racetrack again this year. And it's always great to have you on the show. And you're going to have to win a couple more times this year so we can get you on the program.
Yeah, we're definitely going to win some more races this year. If it wouldn't have been some bad luck last year, we'd have won a few more. But I've honestly set my goal of at least winning 5 races this year, if not more. Like I say, I think this year everything's going to come together, and I'm going to put some numbers on the board and see what the old Hoosier Rocket back rolling here.
Yeah, and you'll be impressed to know that your co-host seat remains empty because no one's been able to fill it. So we cannot find anyone that has the twisted mind or can keep up with the hijinks that we used to on the show when we did it together.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, so. I've got a lot of good stuff going on in my mind.
it's hard
to find anybody that wrong out there.
That's true, exactly. Well, Brett, thanks for being on, and I look forward to seeing you during the 2014 season.
All right. Thanks a lot, TJ, for having me on.
Brett Mann, the Hoosier Rocket, joins us on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about some Knoxville Raceway stuff. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshwegaSpeedway.com for more information.
Okay.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest, co-author of the Bible of the Knoxville Nationals. We were just talking off the air how his book has made my Knoxville prep so far this year much easier. And Eric Arnold, this coming year at Knoxville Raceway, we were just talking off the air before we were talking about the book and other things. Man, the 410 class with this TV deal is just stacked to the hilt. Craig Dolansky announcing that he's going to be racing, focusing on the Knoxville 410 division. And, Eric, that 410 class is just going to be unbelievable this year at Knoxville.
Yeah, as you look at the roster of drivers coming in, it's unbelievable to fathom that this, we're going to have that much talent there on a weekly basis this coming year. So we're definitely excited for it, and TV seems to be a big part of why some of the teams are deciding to race there this year. So,
what's been the buzz around locally around Knoxville? You're from the Knoxville area. You're from Oskaloosa. Do you think there's a little more buzz about Knoxville Raceway, not just in the sprint car community, but in the local community and the racing community overall?
Yeah, I mean, even some of my friends that are modified. Modifieds are kind of king in Central Iowa. It's kind of the sprint cars are king in Central Pennsylvania, and that's kind of what most of Central Iowa is modified country, other than Knoxville. Knoxville's big with sprint cars, but, sprint cars don't race anywhere else locally. Where modified, you can race 5-6 nights a week. So even my friends in that modified, IMCA racing community seem to be talking a lot more about Knoxville than usual the last few weeks.
And another neat thing I thought that was announced last week with Knoxville Raceway is the 13th, 14th, and 15th. We're looking at Vintage Motorcycles, World of Outlaws, and AMA Flat Track Motorcycles. That is just the coolest combination ever. How long did it take to get that to put together? I know you're kind of on the inside there at Knoxville Raceway to get that. I mean, normally those are two pretty high profile shows, and have them right back to back, that is something else.
Yeah, and last year we didn't have the AMA flat track guys with us in 2013, but they were with us in 2011, 2012. And they were always scheduled like in the fall and September, kind of after the sprint car season was done, in between the late model nationals and at the end of the year there. And they always got good crowds, somewhere around 5,000 to 7,000. So they decided this year to try to work out a deal to get it moved up on the schedule. They worked out to have it on the Sunday following the World of Outlaw race in June there. And it'll be interesting the way they're going to cross-promote that. They'll have a vintage bike night on Friday night. And then during the afternoon Saturday, the Hall of Fame is going to have kind of a flat track 101, like they normally do the sprint car 101. And they're going to do like a forum for motorcycles that day. And they'll have some motorcycles on display there in the Hall of Fame. And then also some build-up with Steve Kinzer. That'll be one of his last races in Knoxville, I guess. That'll be kind of the big buzz that weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how much crowd overflows into Saturday and Sunday and all that. But it should be a really cool weekend for us.
Now, you're not going to be involved in Motorcycle 101 because that's going to guarantee it snows that weekend, right?
Right.
In case you don't know, Eric has attempted with Bob Wilson to do a Sprint Car 101 three attempts. I think it is two or three attempts at least, and it's been blizzarded out every time they've tried to do it.
Yeah, the last 3 months, it's always the third Thursday of the month, and the last three, we've had just horrible weather. It's unbelievable the way it's worked out. It'll be nice all weekend, and on those Thursdays, it's just turned out terrible for us. So, there was two scheduled with me and Bob Wilson, and then one with me and interviewing Joe Beaver. Which hopefully we're going to pull that off next Thursday with me and Joe Beaver. So,
well, that'll be a neat deal. So Knoxville 101, you can check out Eric and Joe Beaver next week on the Hall of Fame website. So that's always a neat deal. That's kind of an interesting program they do. It's one of their online interactive things where they bring a variety of different people in and for a nice little Q&A session. It turns out to be like a really neat deal.
Yep, it's really cool to what they've done with that the last few years. For the most part, it's been a lot of our local talent, people that can get there on those nights during the middle of the week. But there's been a few occasions where we've had some other people come in where people from further away have traveled in, if it's a certain driver or car owner or Hall of Fame member.
Eric Arnold from Knoxville Raceway joining us on the line. And take the Nationals out, all the 410 and the 360 Nationals. When I look at Knoxville's calendar, where's something where you look at and you go, man, that's just going to be a night I'm really looking forward to seeing at Knoxville Raceway?
Well, Twin Features is always kind of the highlight for me. That's, I think, the second week of July. That's always the big night because it's leading up, you're getting closer to Nationals, and usually teams like probably Rico Abreu and guys like that will come in to get the extra laps with two features, hopefully. But it's also such a big swing for points night because you have the outsider guys coming in, stealing points away from the guys that are there every week. And if you want to win the track championship, that's the night that you need to have a good showing. And Ian Madsen found that out last year. Ian was leading the points up until that night, I think. And, they had a couple mechanical problems and they kept him out of the top 10 in both features that night. And that's always kind of the highlight in the middle of the season for me is that night.
And we had mentioned that World of Outlaws coming there in June and Steve Kinzer's farewell tour. I predicted earlier in the show that Steve's going to match his car number for wins this year, 11. So let's put Eric on the spot. Over under my prediction for feature wins for the entire season for Steve Kinzer.
11. I'm going to say 10.
You're going to say 10. You know, it's been kind of funny. Everyone, when I first, the reaction's kind of funny because I bounced it off Jeremy, but I actually bounced it off a few people before the show. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to predict Steve for 11 wins this year. And they go, oh, that's crazy. That number's really high. And I go, really? Well, how many are you predicting? And they're like, 8, 9. It's only a couple less, you know? But it just shows how tough, the sprint car racing's become when the difference between, a couple of wins, between like 5 and 7, 7, 9, that's a huge stretch.
Yeah, it really is. You look at, last year, we have a guy that only won a few races that won the championship and the guy that won 20-some races didn't win it. And the way that the point structure is and the points for time trials, it's such a competitive field. It seems like even more competitive of a field this year with the Outlaws. With Kinzer stepping up and Brad Sweet winning a couple of races already and, a guy like Tim Kading is going to be in there too. So to get victories on the World of Outlaw Tour this year is going to be tougher than normal. And of course, I don't think anyone's in the slowdown shots out there either.
One other thing that broke over the offseason is the expansion plans at Knoxville Raceway towards Turn 1 to create a facility for offices and such and some more suites and some other things. And how has local reaction been to that expansion announcement? Because Knoxville is a multi-purpose facility and all. It is a county fairgrounds and for all intents and purposes, lots of different events held there. But how's reaction been to the expansion of Knoxville Raceway?
It's been really good for the most part throughout the community. There's some people who are like, well, what's going to happen to the skate pit, and there's some sentimental value there for some people. But that building was built in 1955 and it's seen better days, and it would be really nice to have a new structure there, kind of a new entrance to the facility. The skate pit, one of the first things you see when you walk in off of Highway 14 there, and it would just be really cool to have a new facility there looking nice, a new entry, and we've got some things that sounds like planned out as far as attractions to kind of add as part of that. The building itself, I don't think it's quite set in stone what all they're going to do with that yet, but from what I've been told is, the top two floors will be suites. They're looking at, possibly up to 8 suites up there. But there'll be larger ones, So it's not just a normal suite where you can fit 10 to 14 people. It'll be one that can fit, you know, 50 to 100, so that a company like FVP or Casey's or, you know, STP can bring in their people and actually have a company function there and entertain their clients and their employees. And we want to take care of all of the track's marketing partners in that regard. So I think that'll be a big bonus, is something that's been needed for a while. And, you know, of course, the Little Brick ticket office building that we've had for a long time, since the early 80s, is filled to the max as far as, you know, the full-time staff continues to grow, and the need for more people is probably, you know, gonna rise, I would think, in the next 10, 20 years. So to have more space just for staff, for fans, it is a big deal. It sounds like there's also going to be some retail space with a gift shop that could be open year-round. And then going back to the skate pit here, there could be room to have the skate pit rebuilt either within that facility, or there'll be a new building constructed on the ground somewhere that will serve as kind of the new skating rink facility for the fairgrounds, because that is an important part of the fairgrounds as far as year-round. You know, the community likes that. People rent it out for parties all the time, and it's always busy on the weekends in the winter.
Eric Arnold joining us now. Eric, you did have that ambitious book project for the first 50 years of the Knoxville Nationals, and I can't tell people enough what a great resource your book is, as we've already been delving into some of our Knoxville prep for 2014 to get ready, and I can't tell you how many times I've referred back to the book. It's on my nightstand right now as we get ready for that. So I can't thank you and Bob enough for putting that wonderful piece together. If someone wants the book, where can they get it at?
You can get it online at KnoxvilleNationalsBook.com. You can also buy it through the Sprint Car Hall of Fame there in Knoxville. And we're running low as far as quantity of books right now. We're getting down to the end of the first 1,000 that we have printed. And me and Bob have actually just been talking the last couple of weeks about getting more printed before this year really gets going, so that we have plenty of books to sell again this year at the Nationals.
All right, so if you want one of those first-run books, you know, you want to get your hands on them now, because they're starting to get into limited numbers. Well, Eric, I'm sure we'll talk to you again as we draw closer to the Knoxville Raceway season, and, man, it is shaping up to be one awesome year. You're going to have some great racing to watch there out at the Marion County Fairgrounds.
Yep, we're looking for a good year. You know, Delancey's going to be tough. You got Brown. That should be there most weeks, and Lasofsky, and then, of course, you know, last year's guys that were at the top of the standings nation, and Ian Madsen and Terry McCarl and Dobmeyer and Heskin. It's just going to be a great season for us, and I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully it's a good, safe season for everybody, and we get lots of fans to come out and watch.
I agree, and that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I want to thank Brett Mann and Eric Arnold and Jeremy Elliott for joining us on tonight's show. We'll be back here next week at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern live on racesontheweb.com. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.